The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd, on the subject of self-pity. I'm so glad, Val, that you've decided to talk about this. I've talked about it quite a few times, I guess, myself. But you and I both know that it is a dreadful thing to sit down in a little pile of self-pity and feel sorry for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I have some verses that have comforted me over and over again, and I think I'm learning to live by them, this truth that the Lord wants me to come to Him no matter how I feel. And it's in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 15, 17, 18. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you were not willing. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore you shall flee. We will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. And I think that can refer to our trying to go it on our own, doing without His strength. But 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one man. You shall flee at the threat of five, until you're left as a flag on a mountaintop and as a signal on a hill. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for Him. He wants us to come to Him, and yet we continually turn away from Him, or we flee, thinking that this thing or that thing will save us. And He's saying, in returning to Me, you will be saved. And just the picture of God sitting on the throne, waiting for His children to come to Him, makes me want to go to Him, makes me want to long for His truth, His words in my heart and in my mind, rather than the way my flesh would tell me to think and feel.
Well, your little children return to you when they've been hurt, don't
right.
they?
Right, they come and back over and over.
And that is a place where they find rest. Mm-hmm. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. So mm-hmm. rather than sitting yourself down in a distant corner mm-hmm. and hoping that somebody's going to come along and feel mm-hmm. sorry for you, mm-hmm. The thing to do is to go immediately to the one who can, the one who alone can give you rest.
Mm-hmm. Gerhard Terstegen said this, "Now, O my God, my comfort, portion, rest, Thou, none but Thou, shalt reign within my breast. Call me to Thee, call me Thyself, O speak, and bind my heart to Thee, whom most I seek." We continually forget that it's really God we need, and it's not someone else's listening to us. I know at different times I have tried not to bring up the little trials that happen during the day when my husband comes home, because I know it's His pity that I'm looking for, and I know the Lord knows all that went on, and I can go to Him. Now, there's nothing wrong with my telling what happened to Walt if he has asked, if he's interested, you know, and just to be able to communicate what's happening in each of our lives is good and right for a husband and wife, but to bring it up because I want him to feel sorry for me is not the right spirit. The Lord wants to show mercy to us, and yet we will not go to Him. And I think our tendency is we talk too much, we try to tell at least three other people during a week or during a day that we are not all that we want to be, or that things have been done to us that weren't fair. I had a friend for a couple of years who's moved away, but she was always saying when things were going wrong, it's just not fair. It's not fair. And with God, you know, His ways are just and perfect. His ways are perfect, always.
And there's always that temptation to feel that we have a certain distinction if times have been really tough. You know, you want to hear about my day? Well, it's a whole lot worse than yours.
It's worse than yours.
So let's all have a pity party.
And we try to top each other with how awful something
was that happened. And do your children do that, Val?
I think because of certain personalities, there are a couple of my children who want to have pity parties. And we're learning, all of us together, to laugh about it. And, you know, when one is bringing up something that, especially if it's in front of the whole family, then somebody else will laughingly say, let's have a pity party. But then when they come to me individually and say, it's not fair, you know, such and such has happened, I'm learning to say, life is not fair in general. We don't get what we want all the time. And God knows that. And God knows what's best for us to grow. Fairness is a tricky issue with your children because you want to love them all equally, but you cannot give every one of them the same privilege. You can't do that, and you have to help them understand that for different gifts and different personalities, God gives different blessings. And so if one gets to go somewhere and the other one doesn't, that is not something I used to try to equal everybody. So if so-and-so is going here, then you must take your younger sister because it's not fair to her for her not to go. But I'm learning to teach them that on a different day, they'll get a different kind of blessing, and not to feel sorry for themselves, but to accept gladly whatever is put in front of them.
And who is it that defines this fairness that children are always hollering about?
It's their own selfishness, their own self-centeredness.
There certainly ought to be some distinctions made between the age groups. I can just hear us saying so often to our parents, well, how come he? Well, the answer is very simple. Well, because he's older than you are. Or he does not have to do this because he's younger than you are.
And to help them to get the perspective that the day will come when the Lord will bless them in a way that their older brother or sister has not been blessed. And the Lord gives he meets out for us exactly what we need. And to me, that's a wonderful principle to live by, just to continually thank Him for what He's given me. And it's my portion for the day. I know you've talked a lot about what your portion is. I think of manna in the wilderness. The Lord gave exactly what they needed for that day. If they took too much for themselves, then it molded and got worms in it. If they took too little, they didn't have enough. And the Lord knows what trials, what circumstances, what food, physically and spiritually, we need. So
it's a divine assignment, isn't it? It says in Psalm 16:5, Lord, You have assigned me my portion and my cup and have made my lot secure. Whatever my lot, You have taught me to say, it is well.
If we really believe that God is our Heavenly Father, giving out exactly what we need each day, it's our position with Him that gives me peace and security and rest. I think of how a day may go where I'm exhausted and discouraged because nothing seemed to go right. It's to know that I'm His completely and that He allowed things not to go right so that I would go to Him, run to Him, rest in Him, gives me peace. I think where we mothers often get into trouble, and maybe many different Christians in different situations get into trouble, is when the rules of their lives become a bondage to them, and if their rules are not followed, their list of things that they think would make a perfect life, if their rules are not followed, then their security is gone. If our security is in simply the position that we have before the Father, that we're not orphans, we don't have to make it on our own, then we will be happy and peaceful no matter what happens to us. So it has to come from that relationship to Him through Jesus Christ. And I was mentioning how this rule after breakfast is that the children are to come to me after they've brushed their teeth and offer to help and whatever things need to be done before we have our Bible reading. If that's my bondage, then of course I'm going to get upset when they're not followed. But if the rules are a track to learn love and servanthood and to learn to go to the Father and to trust in the Father for his help and strength, then my day goes more peacefully because I know that it's his hand upon us helping us to do what's right and good. But rules, if broken, can be the very arena for showing us God's forgiveness. I want to be everything to my children. I want to be their security. I want to fix everything, and I can't. But I need to trust that I'm leading them, I'm pointing them to the Father in heaven who does fix everything, who gives us complete peace.
He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.